Hi, I'm Nicole DeMore, Associate Editor for SearchStorage.com. I'm speaking today with Brian Babineau, Senior Analyst at the Enterprise Strategy Group. How are you today, Brian?
I'm very well, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. We're going to be talking about email archiving today, so let's get started. So, Brian, why should people think about email archiving?
Nicole, there are three reasons why we believe that organizations should think about email archiving. The first is because they have to. Some organizations are subject to record retention regulations, and those records, those regulations now apply in some cases to email. And organizations must find a way to preserve those business records for 3, 5, even 7 years. And as an example, you know, HIPAA in the healthcare industry requires medical records to be kept for the life of a patient. And if a doctor corresponds with a patient and provides medical advice, it's now a medical record that must be retained. The second reason why we believe organizations should look to archive email is a little bit tertiary to the record retention regulations. It involves around electronic discovery. 8 out of 10 electronic discovery events for civil procedures or for regulatory inquiries involve email. So employees are willing to say almost anything over email. They share contracts and business documents, and that's why they're so popular with litigators and regulators. Right now, many organizations spend a lot of time searching through backup tapes, PST files, NSF files, file shares, looking for emails to produce in electronic discovery. And if you archive them all in one central place, that gets much easier. The last reason, which has to do primarily with IT benefits, is archiving email to expand mailbox limitations while reducing storage costs. Today, about 3/4 of organizations deploy mailbox quotas. And what happens is if you hit your quota, an employee cannot receive or send email. So there's a productivity impediment. The reason mailbox quotas exist is because of the storage costs. You know, the more messages, the bigger attachments, it costs a lot of money to buy storage. Well, organizations can actually deploy email archiving to move messages from a primary environment to a secondary environment, whether that be disk or optical or some other media type. And they can store older messages online and more accessible at lower costs. Employees are happy because they still get access to their old messages and they don't get the annoying you've reached your quota reminders. So, you know, the three reasons really are compliance, electronic discovery, and then IT resource management as it applies to, you know, Exchange or Lotus or other messaging environments.
Okay, great. So how about those who currently use backup software to create corporate email archives? Why should they change?
It's a great question, Nicole, because many organizations believe backup and archiving are the same process. If you're currently using backups, really the risk is whatever happens if you have to access emails for discovery purposes or if an employee wants to go back and reference an email from a while ago. Now, those are really hard tasks and can be expensive tasks if all the emails are on backup tapes. There's also a risk that you can never get the data back from a backup tape. It's either corrupted or you can't read the tape. So there's a risk in accessibility. Our suggestion is you always want to have backups in case of a restore, but archiving should keep data more accessible, more searchable in the event that somebody actually needs to use or retrieve messages rather quickly.
Okay, so you mentioned both mailbox quotas and email archiving already. What's the difference between them?
Right now, as I said, about 2/3, our research says 2/3 of organizations use mailbox quotas. And they do so, and you know, what ends up happening is employees create personal folders, PSTs in Exchange or NSF files in Lotus, and they either manually move messages into those personal folders or they just delete them so they don't hit the quota. What email archiving can do is actually create a separate mailbox, an archive mailbox, where based on policies, whether it's messages older than a certain date or messages of a certain size, are automatically moved from the primary environment out of into a secondary environment. And therefore, those messages do not count against a quota, but also those messages are still available for use. So organizations can continue to use mailbox quotas with archiving. but the archiving will actually allow for an infinite mailbox, and that, you know, that infinite mailbox is actually stored on, you know, hopefully much cheaper disk and, you know, even cheaper servers if possible. Now, understanding the intricacies of, you can still have mailbox quotas with archiving, you can just make sure that the messages are still centrally and readily available.
Okay, great. How can companies get internal sponsorship for an email archiving project?
This is always the difficult question, but if you go back to the three reasons why we believe organizations should look at email archiving in the first place, if you're subject to records retention regulations, two supporters of a project, it should definitely be a records manager as well as a compliance officer. These two groups tend to have budget and are definitely have to look at electronic records management programs as it pertains to email. So in my opinion, that's the first place to go, especially if you're regulated, to get some sponsorship. The second, on the electronic discovery side, corporate counsels know how hard it is to go and sift through millions of messages. And they also know how expensive it is to use a legal service provider to restore tapes to look for messages. So they should have a vested interest in centralizing email an email archive so they can easily search through repositories very quickly and find smoking guns or find ways to support or defend their claim. So the legal budget or corporate counsel budget should also support an initiative. And if an organization is just doing this for storage management or mailbox management purposes, I think employees or key business owners should have a stake as well, because they are the ones that get impacted if they hit their quotas or they can't save messages. So storage managers as well as some key employees could be essentially the third group that supports any type of email archiving project. And it's key to remember that it's not mutually exclusive for each of those groups to have to go do their own thing. You can get the benefits of compliance, e-discovery, mailbox management with one solution typically. So having one or more of those groups support an effort or support a project would certainly increase the likelihood that it gets approved or at least gets funded.
What's the difference between journaling messages, scrubbing log files, and stubbing messages? Are any of these approaches different?
Yes, two of the approaches are methods to get messages into an archive. Journaling, typically used in Microsoft Exchange environments, creates a copy of a message, and that copy can be sent to a second location. And in the email archiving case, it's usually sent into a piece of email archiving software or to an email archiving service provider. Log scraping occurs when a software service actually looks at messaging, calendaring, and other log file data, and it scrapes it out and puts it into the archive. No matter how the messages get in there, those are customer priorities, and you know, different architectures, different products move messages into a secondary environment differently, but those are the two most common. Stubbing messages occurs after a message is in the archive. You tend to have a copy in the primary inbox and then one in the archive. If you have that copy in the secondary archive, you can actually create a link and remove the first copy. So now you're only storing one copy in the message, and quote-unquote, you have a stub. So that preserves access, and even though the message is in the primary inbox, you can still access it via the stub or the link because the message is being stored in the archive itself. This is where the storage cost savings come into play and how people should measure some of the benefits, is that if you're doing mailbox grooming, scanning messages that are older than 30 days so you can move them out to the secondary environment, during that scanning process is when a stub is left as the messages are moved over to the secondary environment. So it's key to understand that stubbing really is a benefit because it reduces storage costs, while scraping, log scraping, and journaling are methods to get messages into an archive.
Okay. For those who like the concept of email archiving but don't necessarily want to archive all their messages, is there a way to selectively archive?
Absolutely. There's a number of products and partnerships between email archiving vendors and message classification providers to help an organization set policies to determine what messages need to be archived and for how long. Those are two key things, is you have to develop retention policies as well as message classification policies. It may seem like a difficult task, but you don't want to archive spam. You don't want to archive non-business related content. So in some cases, you want to maybe archive just the finance group. Or maybe, you know, in financial services, you want to archive all your brokers, but you don't want to archive human resource employees. There are ways to deploy and select what individuals you in what mailboxes you want to archive, and then you can establish the retention periods based on that. But I'm certainly a big proponent of determining what messages you want to archive and for how long before you actually get the software implemented.
Okay, great. What about people who've recently upgraded to Exchange 2007? Can they use that to archive messages?
That's a big myth, Nicole. Exchange 2007 is great for a number of reasons. It expands the size of mailboxes, and so some organizations can have bigger quotas on employees if they so desire, but most don't because of the storage associated with that. They also have some personal folder expansions where a employee can drag and drop messages from one folder into another and set retention periods on that folder. But all of the folders within Exchange count against your quota, so you really aren't saving or truly archiving messages. You're just setting retention periods, and you're not moving them out of the primary environment. Exchange 2007 does have some capabilities, for example, journaling by individual mailbox that allows archiving to happen much more smoothly and allow people to selectively archive. They also have transport rules to help with message classification. So I think Exchange 2007 as a standalone archiving application isn't really a great choice, but Exchange 2007 being part of an archive environment where it is feeding an archive software is a great alternative.
Okay, so you mentioned Lotus Notes earlier. Are there any implementation issues with Lotus Notes because it's pretty different from Exchange?
Absolutely. Exchange and Lotus are definitely two different messaging applications with two different architectures. Organizations should work with vendors that support their specific messaging applications. That's you know, check mark number one. But there are architectural differences in how you can deploy email archiving with Lotus versus Exchange. Exchange has a journaling capability. Notes has just added it more recently. Notes also utilizes log files, so many of the archiving vendors scrape messages that way. The key for customers is to make sure they work with a vendor that supports their messaging application, and two, make sure that they know what version of Notes they're running and how that archiving software or archiving service interacts with Notes and how it will get messages, because there can be some cases where you're not going to get all the benefits of stubbing or the ability to select individual mailboxes. So before deployment or implementation, especially if you're a Lotus Notes shop, make sure you know what version you're running and then how the archive software will interact with it.
Okay, and finally, is there a benefit to deploying archive software with backup software?
Yeah, earlier I talked about using backups as an archive isn't probably feasible anymore because we now have to access the data more frequently due to the regulatory and discovery requirements that are happening. However, we believe backup and archiving are two separate processes that require two different tools. You know, you wouldn't use a hammer to put a screw in and vice versa. In our opinion, backup software is a great way to move data and create a copy of it in case there's a corruption or deletion. Archive software is a great way to move data into a separate environment, index it, and make it searchable and readily retrievable. For backup and backup and archiving software can coexist and actually complement each other. So, for example, if you archive messages out of a primary environment, you can then backup that primary environment much quicker because there's less data to copy. In addition, if you have an archive and that archive contains now evidence, business records, as well as key older messages for employees, you want to make sure you protect that archive. So backing it up, adding that archive to the backup schema is a requirement. So there are some overlaps of how you can use backup software and archive software, but they should also be used for the right things. And archive before you backup and then backup the archive are two great intersection points, and there are others, but they must coexist, and one shouldn't replace the other. They should complement.
Okay, great. That's all I have today. Thanks very much for your time, Brian.
I appreciate it.